We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the Mobile Cookout Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider. Brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. Go to visitmyrtlebeach.com to plan your vacation.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, what's up?
It's been an eventful few days in the Tar Heel State.
Yes, it has. Just a devastating natural disaster for a large portion of the state, but in particular, the Sandhills and the southeastern portion of the state, and of course the coast, with Hurricane Florence. Adam, quite honestly, here in the Triangle area, there, I don't want to act like absolutely nothing happened, because there is some localized flooding, and particularly late on Sunday night, early Monday morning, the Chapel Hill, Durham area received a ton of rain, which has really upped some flooding again in this area, but just nothing like we have seen from the other parts of the state. And it just almost doesn't even seem possible what has happened in the eastern part of the state with the amount of water that they're dealing with, in particular, in addition to, of course, the actual landfall of the hurricane, but really it's the water, the storm surge, the flooding inland, all of that has been so impactful for North Carolina.
Felt like everybody kind of caught their breath when they decided, oh, it may not be a Category 4 hurricane, but what a reminder that it doesn't take a Category 4 hurricane to do a lot of damage to a lot of people and things and lives, because certainly just thousands and thousands of people were impacted.
From the Tar Heel point of view, of course, all sporting events from this past weekend were either canceled or postponed. That happened relatively early in the week. If you listen to our last podcast, we had Rick Steinbacher, John Bruner, both with us, and kind of detailed some of the discussion that was going on just from the football game side of things. And Adam, I know there are always going to be some grumbles, I think, no matter what you decide to do. But, I mean, clearly the correct decision was made to postpone and or cancel all these events for Carolina, including the football game.
Well, and I know there were some people who looked out their window on Saturday afternoon at 12:30 and said, oh, well, the Tar Heels have played in conditions like this before. It's raining. At that point, it wasn't just about the conditions. It was about all the things you need to put on a football game. And those things were just better used elsewhere than they were at Keenan Stadium on that particular day.
And I think, you know, we talked about this after Hurricane Matthew a couple of years ago with the Virginia Tech game, that decision was made later. It was made on the conditions at the game site, which I think is the actual written rule or suggestion or whatever. But also, as we talked about, and you and I talked about, and then we talked about with Rick, it's just different now. And I think there is a lot more kind of, I'll use the word global thought that goes into it of not only can this happen, but should this happen? You know, there are more than just the 22 guys on the field at that moment and the officials that are going to be impacted by what's happening. So it feels like a prudent decision, and I think you're going to continue to see more and more of this as time goes on. And then you even saw, you know, like Virginia, for example, played their game in Nashville as it ended up, probably didn't need to, but made the more cautious decision. And I don't know why you can, at this point, I think the more cautious decision is always going to be the one that is going to be made.
Unless you're with Babcock.
Yeah, there was a little bit of, it was a bad look by Virginia Tech, apparently not happy that East Carolina elected to not try, and I don't know if, and I may be not saying it quite right, but eventually that game didn't happen because ECU couldn't get to Blacksburg, didn't feel safe going to Blacksburg, whatever it was, and the Hokies were very publicly clear and kind of in an odd way that they were, that they didn't like that.
When I first saw that, I thought, oh, someone has tweeted out from a parody account what the Virginia Tech AD might say if he was saying this, but then it turned out to be real.
Yeah.
And it's hard to begrudge ECU when you look at what's gone on down there.
Yeah.
They didn't want 100 college students thinking about what was going on back at their home.
As far as the Tar Heels are concerned, Tar Heel football, you know, everyone left. I believe it was Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Carolina did have a practice on Wednesday morning of this past week and then let everyone who felt like they wanted to leave left. We're recording this on Monday. Talked to Larry Fedora earlier today. He also met with the media, and he said as of that time period, which was around lunchtime on Monday, that a large majority of the guys were back. Still a handful of guys who were en route returning to Chapel Hill, hadn't quite gotten back yet, but were accounted for as far as they knew they were on the way. Larry Fedora said, you know, had talked to couple of like high school coaches down east and kind of gotten to see reports from them and just on what was going on. But there were no football activities for the Tar Heels at all. There was no practice because the team was not here in total. Some guys did stay. Of course, Larry Fedora and his staff were able to do a little work ahead in getting ready for Pitt. And the schedule a little bit different early this week in that normally Sunday is a practice day, kind of a review of the previous game and a light practice. Then Monday's a day off, and they get into their game week stuff on Tuesday. The team just flipped Monday and Sunday this particular week. They were going to have a team meeting on Monday afternoon, which is probably happening about right now as we speak in the present, Adam, not as people are hearing it, and then try to get on with a normal week starting on Tuesday. So an interesting situation for sure for the Tar Heels because they kind of have to get everything focused back in to what they're trying to do as far as football is concerned, hosting Pitt this weekend.
It's almost like having the season opener again.
It really is.
Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing.
Well, you know, Larry Fedora mentioned that on Tuesday last week on at Larry Fedora Live, where he kind of said, you know, this is almost like a reset for us. And so we're approaching it that way. And we have 9 games left, and they're going to attack those 9 games. And, you know, you saw that, Adam, in 2001 when Carolina started 0-3. And then had that reset because of the September 11th attacks when Carolina didn't play against SMU. We talked about that some last show. And then they came back, and that was when they hosted Florida State, was their next game. Then, of course, they shocked Florida State in that game and ended up going 8-2 the rest of the season in their final 10 games. And so I'll just be interested to see how Carolina kind of comes out of the break. Certainly there have been guys who've been affected off the field with this event and see how if they rally together and if it, you know, gives them something to kind of rally around, or if it's something that could be distracting too and hard to focus back in. It's just hard to know.
I think it's good that the first game after the break is a conference game, because then it really does feel like restarting. If this was one more non-conference game, okay, you got to go do that. But this is, and it's a conference game against an opponent that is not as daunting as some of the other conference opponents might be. You should be able to compete with Pitt.
We'll find out later this week, of course, and we'll talk about this game coming up later this week as well when we have our second show. You know, Adam, some people have started to get questions on whether or not this game will occur, the Pitt game, because of the inability potentially to travel for a lot of people to the game. And as of now, certainly there is no I have not heard any discussion of this game not occurring. I think certainly you understand that there's some people who may come to this, would normally come to this game, that will not be coming to this game, and nor should they. They probably have more important, or they definitely have some more important things they have to deal with. But as far as I know, if the conditions don't change in any way, I would be surprised if somehow this game was not played or affected in some way.
Well, and I think there's an opportunity there that I'm sure people are thinking about. Like I saw Tennessee sort of just threw open the doors and said, if you're displaced by the hurricane, come to the game.
Right.
Somebody else did that. Can't remember who it was. Might have been Georgia. There may potentially be an opportunity like that, because I do think the crowd will be down, because there will be people who would normally spend their Saturdays in Keenan Stadium who have more important things to do on this particular Saturday. So in order to create a good environment and a good Saturday afternoon at Keenan, there may need to be some creativity later in the week to figure out how to maybe get some people in who might not otherwise have the opportunity.
Just kind of finishing our talk up on this, there's a reference page on GoHeels.com that has some good links if you're interested in helping out, whether that's monetarily or with goods or with your time to volunteer. There are some links there on GoHeels.com that kind of aggregate all that information so that you can look and kind of find different ways that you may be able to help. I know the equipment truck that Carolina uses for football is being made available to carry goods to different places if needed. Larry Fedora talked about Kevin Reddick, who you may remember, a linebacker for the Tar Heels, good player in the late 2000s, early 2010 time period. He was his final year was Larry Fedora's first year in 2012, and he's from New Bern, North Carolina, and there was some talk where the football team's going to help try to get water and Gatorade and just some supplies like that, working with Kevin to help out at his hometown. So there are some efforts there being made by the athletic programs at Carolina. And again, you can check out GoHeels.com is a good place to look for a lot of different links that may help you if you're interested in helping out.
Lot of ways to do so.
Yeah. And there's a lot of help that's needed.
Yes.
Adam, anything else kind of on your mind just from the hurricane, the Tar Heels, how they were affected, all those different things?
No.
Anything from this weekend of college football that struck your fancy?
I didn't watch a ton of football this weekend. For one thing, the games were hard to find.
Yeah.
Because, as there should be, there was hurricane coverage on. I watched some of Ohio State TCU. That was a good game.
Yep.
Pretty much. What else did I watch? I watched a little tiny bit of LSU Auburn, and I watched some of Florida State Syracuse.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Florida State having a tough time now under Willie Taggart, their first-year head coach. I saw someone like tweeting out the buyout already for Willie Taggart after three games. So FSU not in a good place at the moment.
Well, and obviously, like, I'm sure it wasn't the FSU AD unless it was that same parody account that was running Virginia Tech. But if you're that unsure of your coach after three games, you probably shouldn't have hired him
right
in the first place. That's quick. But maybe Syracuse is good.
And Carolina, of course, goes to Syracuse later on this
year. That's part of the
year.
Reason why I think they might be good.
Yeah.
It would stand a reason.
It is. I know we've talked about this. But it's unbelievable how the Tar Heels seem to find teams right when they're good. And then you have, like, Duke scheduled Baylor, and Baylor was, you know, just incredible for a bunch of years in a row, and Duke plays them in 2 years where they're terrible because of all the reasons we know.
Well, and the reverse is also true because Carolina doesn't play Florida State this year.
Right.
In a year that you might, like, if you have to play the Seminoles, this might be the year to do it. But no, not on the schedule.
Adam, also big news since the last time. This one, nothing to do with the weather or natural disasters, but the Carolina basketball schedule was released late last week. And it, we knew part of this schedule. We knew the non-conference part. So this was just the conference schedule, which somehow takes forever to do now. But the thing that stood out to me the most was the the part that I already knew.
Right.
And it was just a reminder that I think this is one of the hardest non-conference schedules Carolina has ever had, ever. I mean, you start on the road at Wofford, at Elon. Should Carolina be able to win both those games? Yes. But could they lose one? Of course. Wofford won in the Smith Center last year. I mean, those are, again, games that 95% of teams in the country would never, ever, ever play.
More than that, there were like 10 stories last week about how mid-major teams couldn't get games, much less home games, much less, hey, Roy Williams, would you come play? Oh, sure, how about the first week of the season?
So, I mean, just back-to-back games that are losable games, even though the Tar Heels will be favored to win them both. Then you've got Stanford and Chapel Hill, quality opponent. Then you get into the Las Vegas Invitational. You get a couple of home games. The Tar Heels will be favored to win those against Tennessee Tech and St. Francis. But then you're in that four-team tournament against Texas, Michigan State, and UCLA. Somebody's going to go 0-2 in that tournament. Tar Heels certainly don't think or want it to be them, but somebody's going to.
And you have to fly across the country and play on Thanksgiving, which always messes up people.
Yeah. Then the next game is at Michigan.
After you fly back across the country, and then fly back halfway across the country to get to Michigan.
National runner-up a year ago. Then home games against UNCW, a quality program with a team, with a head coach that knows your system, of course, with C.B. McGrath. Same can be said of Stanford with Jared Haas. I mean, knows your system, knows the way you like to play, all those things. Gonzaga, I mean, one of the top programs in the country year in and year out. Then you got Kentucky in Chicago. No, nothing needed there. We know
after exams.
Yep. And then Davidson and Harvard, two really good smaller programs. But, I mean, Davidson, again, a team Carolina seems to play every single year. And Harvard, a quality program, almost beat the Tar Heels in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. That's their non-conference schedule. There's only, I mean, I think you could say in looking at that, you feel like the Tar Heels are probably going to beat Tennessee Tech and St. Francis. Although, I mean, anything can happen. We saw that last year. But you figure they're going to win those two games. Every other game in the non-conference, I think you can make an argument that something could happen that would cause Carolina not to win the game.
It's a great year to have season tickets in the Smith Center.
Yeah, right. That's a great schedule.
You have very few games where, oh, gee whiz, I'm not sure if I want to make the drive. That Gonzaga game on the 15th is a Saturday evening, like 5-ish.
That's 7.
Okay.
On Saturday night.
5-ish Mountain Time.
Yeah, you're just going
right.
Denver.
I was trying to make it more accessible for the Gonzaga fans.
Yeah, I understand.
That game, I think that'll be the biggest ticket in the Smith Center this year other than Duke. I've already heard people asking how they can get tickets to the Gonzaga game. And the sneaky other one that always sneaks up will be Davidson on December 29th, right in between Christmas and New Year's. Everybody's at home. Everybody wants to take the kids to a game. It's a Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock, I think, one of the rare non-noon starts.
Right.
That one will also be kind of a sneaky, tough ticket. But I think it's a really – and then when you add in the conference schedule, which we'll talk about in a minute, it's a great year to have tickets to the Smith Center.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So is it just my schedule, or maybe I just got an early version? There's so many TBAs on the time. Is that just, did I get like an early version?
I was told that some of those are hopefully going to be filled in this week. Maybe even by the time you hear this, but I doubt it. So keep your head on a swivel, and your TBAs, like Harry Potter, may like transform right before your eyes into 7 p.m.
I mean, and then we get the ors down here.
Yeah.
Like Clemson's 4 or 6. Don't start doing this. Don't start doing this, basketball. It's one of the things that you have that people like is they know what time the game is. Don't start doing this.
Well, and we were both on an email where one of those TBAs is either 2 or 4 or 6.
Yeah.
And there was a big discussion about should it be listed as 2, 4, or 6 or just TBA. Let's just go with TBA.
Yeah.
2, 4, 6 is kind of a broad range to fall into.
All right, let me now. I'm just gonna roll through the conference schedule really fast, and then we'll talk about it. At Pitt, at NC State, tough way to start. Louisville at home, Notre Dame at home, at Miami, Virginia Tech at home, at Georgia Tech. Tar Heels don't play particularly well there. At Louisville, NC State at home. Gosh, playing State twice early. Miami at home, Virginia at home, so 3 straight home games. At Wake, at Duke, Florida State at home, Syracuse at home, at Clemson, at BC, Duke at home. Adam, what stood out to you?
I think overall that's one of the more manageable conference schedules Carolina's had since going to the unbalanced format. There's some quirky things in there that you know you're going to have to manage. There's 2 Saturday Mondays, but Carolina's at home on both the Mondays, and that's always better, it seems like, than having to play Saturday and then pack up and go on the road on Sunday. So I think that's better. There's a 3-game homestand, which I think has only happened maybe once before in the Roy Williams era in conference play. I think those first 2 games are people are going to go, oh, those are easy wins. That's going to be tricky, I think, because the Pitt game will be Jeff Capel's first ACC game.
Oh, yeah. That's not – no, yeah.
On a Saturday, and so I would expect a good crowd. Then you go to Raleigh, where they're consistently frothing at the mouth on a daily basis. So that's going to be a difficult start. I think when you first look at it, you think, huh, it's not backloaded this year as it's been in some years past. But then when you think about – who I think will be expected to be some of the better teams. 5 of Carolina's last 6 games are against Florida State, Syracuse, Clemson, and Duke twice. That's probably 4 of your top 6 or 7 teams, if I had to guess right now. Duke obviously is going to be really good. The outlier would be Virginia, and Carolina plays them nice and quote-unquote early on February 11th. I think Virginia Tech will be good. So when you put all those, that's your top division right there. Those teams plus Virginia Tech.
Lucas Stamp, top division.
Yeah, go ahead and just no, nothing unpredictable ever happens in ACC basketball. Those are your top teams. So I do think those last 6 are tougher than it might look on the face, but not as tough as, for example, some stretches of last year's schedule.
Teams that the Tar Heels play twice in addition to Duke and State are Louisville. How does that how is this rotation determined? Carolina just played Louisville twice. Has the Tar Heels played Wake Forest twice in a year since they've played Louisville? Maybe. I don't know.
1984. They played Wake Forest.
It's twice. Like I don't understand this. And the other one is I just had it and now it's Miami.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't get this, Adam.
Yes. Well, and the Tar Heels don't have to go to Charlottesville for the first time
that
in a while.
Clearly a mistake.
But the home game is the back end of one of those Saturday Mondays.
Yeah. When will the Tar Heels and Virginia has to do the same thing. In fact, they play Duke on Saturday at home and then have the Tar Heels on the road on Monday. There was a lot of complaining from the Virginia side about that little portion. It's always going to be challenging because it's the ACC. That stretch of, I think a sneaky stretch, Adam, is Miami, Virginia, at Wake, at Duke. I mean, that's a hard stretch there from early February to late February. It's the 9th, the 11th, the 16th, the 20th. The Wake trip is always tough. Miami plays the Tar Heels very well. Virginia and Duke, as we said, both expect to be. I think Miami's very good. I think they'll probably be in the top portion of the league as well. So it's going to be a difficult schedule because it always is. But I tell you what, we're going to know if the Tar Heels are any good or not by the end of this schedule. There is no question about that.
Well, and by the time you get to conference play, you're going to have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you will have seen teams just as good as you're going to see, some of which in non-Smith Center environments, which is what Roy Williams wants. And he's going to get it this year.
So, Adam, you We already talked about you going to see them see some conditioning. Is that correct? We already talked about that?
We talked about when I went to watch them run the hills.
Oh.
We didn't talk about when I went and watched them run at Finley Fields.
No.
On one of the pre-hurricane days. Preseason basketball conditioning is hard.
Yeah. I saw someone, maybe Kobe White, tweeted out, like, this conditioning is conditioning. Or, so you know, just something yeah. like basically just alluding to how difficult it was.
It is. Like, and I think when you like when you just tell someone what they're doing, it doesn't sound that bad. Like,
right.
Jones, they're going to go out there and run some 100-meter sprints and then some hundreds and 200s in a series of six.
That sounds like a piece of cake, Adam.
It's not far. 100 meters is not that bad. I mean, I'm not Canadian, but I know it's not that far. But then when you actually have to do it with little rest in between, that's some difficult stuff. These guys are good athletes, Jones. That's one thing that I've learned by going to conditioning. And I think the other thing you learn is how good Jonas Serration is at his job. Because he – and at some point we're going to have him on this darn podcast. And one thing I really want to talk to him about is how much of his job is, you know, like biology and knowing about strength and conditioning. And how much of his job is psychology. Mm. Because he so clearly knows which guys he can push a little more – which guys need to be patted on the back, which guys need to be yelled at, and he's got a very good handle on that. And I think that's just that's part of his art that maybe is not quite as appreciated. Clearly, he knows about the biology part more than anyone else I know. But I think that's sort of a, just an underappreciated part. But it's hard. If all it is running tests, Carolina's going undefeated this year because the Tar Heels are really good at it.
Really? Early start to the season. I mean, again, this is something we knew, but just kind of stood out. I mean, Tar Heels are playing on November 6th.
Yeah, it's a real game.
Yeah, that's really early.
Yeah.
And the only exhibition, public exhibition, is against Mount Olive. That is on Friday, November the 2nd, that the Tar Heels will play their only public exhibition. They do have quite a closed-door scrimmage that they will be
You could sell some tickets to that one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you legally can't, but you could.
But in theory, you could. But the Tar Heels against Mount Olive, their only public exhibition. Again, that's Friday, November the 2nd, and then the season starts on Tuesday, November the 6th. Ho-hum, just, you know, like 6 weeks from now.
The season is long.
Basketball season's long.
As you said, it starts really early, but then the flip side of that is you don't play Duke until February 20th. February 20th. It wasn't that many years ago. The second meeting was on February 27th, and you had already played them twice by then.
That's crazy.
Now you don't play them until February 20th, which is that's tied for the latest initial meeting the teams have ever had, but it's tied with 2014 when it was snowed out and moved back a few days. So the latest scheduled initial meeting between Carolina and Duke, but we know that's going to happen every year. It's just going to get later and later, and that's the way television wants it, and that's the way it's going to be.
ACC tournament in Charlotte this year.
Yeah.
The first and second rounds in Hartford, Connecticut.
No.
Jacksonville, Florida. Have you been to the landing?
Have you been to the landing?
Des Moines, Iowa.
No, thanks.
Salt Lake City.
I'll pass.
Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
Columbus, Ohio.
Nope.
Tulsa.
Nope.
Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, if you got to go somewhere, go to Seattle. If you don't, let's play in Raleigh, which is not a choice.
So.
Where's the regionals this year, gents?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
In the Yum Center.
Right.
Anaheim, California, a
no,
long way away.
Thank you, sir.
Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
And Kansas City, Missouri. Final Four in Minneapolis.
Mm. That's interesting that I think of Washington and Louisville as being very close to each other. I mean, I don't know if that's
right.
Geographic.
Louisville, the South region, regional spot, and D.C.'s the Eastern or the East region. Remember those couple of years that they did it by be like, yeah. You're playing in the Syracuse region. That was in 05 when the Tar Heels won. Yeah. That's always dumb. I hope they've expunged that from the record book. They just call it the East again.
What do you think is going
to
be the?
I always like. Remember, there used to be the Southeast region.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Wasn't the Carolina was in the Southeast when they beat Kentucky in
95? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Whew. Like the corners of our mind. What do you think is going to be the hot region? Do you think people are going to, like, if you were the Tar Heels, would you rather go to Louisville or would you rather go to Washington, D.C.? I'd rather go to Louisville.
Adam, I don't even know who the Tar Heels' opponent is. Either's fine.
I'd rather go to Louisville.
Let's just hope the Tar Heels are playing in the tournament, Adam. That's what I want.
That would be good. I would be disappointed if they weren't in
it. Yeah, me too. So, boy, basketball right around the corner.
So you don't already have your bracket filled out.
I don't already have my bracket filled out. Basketball right around the corner. It's been such an odd start to the football year, Adam. I mean, clearly the results aren't what the Tar Heels wanted, but just the schedule's been so weird. I mean, you had that long trip to get things started out to Cal. Then you had Labor Day, and then you have this week that's affected by this terrible disaster with the hurricane, and now, you know, trying to get kind of back into the swing of things this week as best you can, and we're fortunate that we even have that opportunity up here. And then Carolina plays on Thursday next week against Miami, and then it's just a really odd first couple of weeks here for Tar Heel football. But you're right. It really does feel like a reset.
Yes.
So we'll see. The podcast brought to you by VisitMyrtleBeach.com. We certainly hope everybody down on the South Carolina coast, who also took a lot of rain and a beating as well, hope everybody's doing as best they can. Visit MyrtleBeach.com, the website to help you make the most of your stay on the coast so you can have the best vacation ever. Quick reminder, sign up for Dash for a Car. You can do it. Maybe Anthony Ratliff Williams going to run that kickback against Pitt, get you a brand new car. You can go to GoHeels.com. It's under the Fan Zone tab. Then you go to Popular Links. Get your chance to win a car brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point.
How do you think that makes the other links feel?
They're not popular like that one is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you? I think it might be the only link in Popular Links. Hey, there's no doubt who's the quarterback on this high school football team. It's Crown Honda of South Point. All right, Adam, do you have a list?
I do.
Let's go.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
There are a few items on the list. Number one, Sports Illustrated voted on the best uniforms in college basketball. The Tar Heels won.
Oh.
You know how it used to be they would run stories like this and like fans would talk about it, but it was no big deal? Now you run a story like this, and you got to have, like, three graphics about how you won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like a video exalting how great you are and, like, four other things. The top five were Carolina, obviously, by a long way.
Justified.
UCLA.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm all right with that. Kansas.
Okay.
I think they do a good job. Here's the one I'm not sure about. Villanova.
Okay.
I think they're just kind of eh.
Right.
And Marquette. You know what it is, because Marquette's got crazy colors.
Yeah, they do.
So people think their uniforms are cool.
And they've got the kind of weird look on the side.
Yeah. Oh, yellow? Yeah, yellow and blue? Yeah, put them in there. I've never seen that before. So clearly.
What is this sorcery?
Yeah, the Tar Heels number one, as they should be. I would think most of the discussion was about 2 through 5. I feel like we're going to need to discuss Mike Seidel.
This could be a how can you justify that, really?
It could be, but I've never done what he's doing,
right.
So I don't know.
Right.
He's the Weather Channel reporter who has 2.5 million followers on Twitter.
People need the weather, Adam.
Do you think that was before this he had all that? Or people have just followed him since then because they're amazed by his balance?
Probably both. I'm sure it was already high.
He's the guy who was kind of bracing himself while he was reporting out in the hurricane, as reporters do, and as he's bracing himself for dear life, and his hood's blowing over his head, and he's waving his arms around, and then here go two teenagers kind of ambling behind him down the street.
Why was he doing that?
Well, according to the Weather Channel, Jones, you need to factor in that he was standing on grass, and they were on concrete. Apparently, their feet were encased in the concrete. That's why they had such an easier time. You know how that grass is.
Oh, man.
It'll slip right out from under you. It's going to be a long road back from that.
It really was. It was not a good look. It was not a good look.
Well, and if he had just done it in like 1988, the thousand people who saw it would have thought it was funny.
Right.
But in 2018,
nope.
I saw it on Twitter like 5 seconds after it happened and then saw it 100 more times.
Yeah.
And now, did you see any of the, like the parody videos where people would like be sideways hanging onto a light post and then it would pan and there's like the other person holding their feet? That was funny.
Oh, Mike Seidel.
Another item on the list, Jones. Do you have your Navy shirt ready for Saturday? Because it's all Navy
that's right.
at Keenan Stadium.
It's Navy Day. I'd forgotten.
Yeah. Well, don't forget because that's what's happening on Saturday. It's a Navy out. We're not joking. That's really what it is.
Again, just another thing that's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
With everything else that's going on.
Here's another thing that I bet you can't believe is happening so soon. The Fast Break Breakfast.
When is that?
Next week.
What?
It's next week, the Fast Break Breakfast.
I'm hosting that.
They should let you
know. Well, I mean, I'm not hosting. Roy Williams is hosting. I'm emceeing it.
I feel like they should let you know when it is.
Well, they have. I just, I got to tell you, Adam, I kind of forgot that it was that close.
It is next week. So, like, not a major rush on coming up with your remarks, but might want to get on that pretty soon after the Pitt game. And, of course, people can go to that. It's raised now $2.4 million for the fight against cancer, Limeburger Cancer Center, and just a great event. Mac Brown's the speaker this year, a double pod guest.
That's right.
If you didn't get enough of him on the pod, he'll be
It
even
is
better.
September 25th.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A week from today.
Yeah.
I'm glad we do this podcast, Adam.
If you're going to that event, don't expect a lot out of Jones.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of off the cuff from what I can see. But you can still buy tickets. I think it is close to a sellout, but not sold out. So if you go to Limeburger Cancer Center's website, they got lots of information about the breakfast. They always have cool auction stuff. Coach Williams, that's kind of the first time he talks publicly about – you might know this, Jones. You might have been to this in the past. He talks publicly about that year's team, and sometimes he'll give you a little tidbit or two that he wouldn't say on, like, media day or something. That's always good.
I knew it was coming up. I have to admit I wasn't aware it was so soon.
Well, it doesn't seem to me that September 25th ought to be next week.
Right.
And
yeah,
also,
that's true, too.
Also, the breakfast is earlier this year.
It's earlier. That's got to be earlier.
It's usually in October.
Yeah. Okay. See? Okay.
Well, the first practice is on September 26th. That's way earlier.
Yes. Okay, I feel better about that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Anything else, Adam?
As far as list material, no, that's it.
All right, let's quickly go to our email inbox, carolinainsiderpod@gmail.com. We have an update on the wedding tables. We received a follow-up from Kelly. You may remember Kelly Cherry Lee. Sent us an email saying that she wanted to have her tables for her wedding reception correlate with numbers from great Tar Heel basketball players in the past. So, for example, table number 00 would be Big Grits. So we talked about this last week. Kelly follows up, which, by the way, Adam, we also received a tweet saying that they, too, had used the Tar Heel greats' names and numbers as wedding tables.
That surprised me.
I
thought this was a unique thing that no one had ever thought of before, and evidently it has been done.
It was John Ike. He said, and we've had John. Remember, we can't remember anybody's name. He said, I knew I made the right decision to marry my wife when she let me name the tables at our wedding after Tar Heel greats. We sat at the Dean Smith table. Guests sat at the table's name for Roy, Tyler, MJ, Ford, Rosenbluth, Worthy, Scott, etc.
So he went straight names.
Yeah. Now.
I think that's the right play.
Okay. Well, let's get Kelly's response to this, Adam. She says, good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for the excellent advice. I don't know that we actually did that, but thank you for saying that, other than to follow your heart, Kelly, which really goes in all walks of life. I do love Adam's idea of just using names, but there are too many non-Tar Heels there who would never remember a name long enough to get to their tables. Sounds like a pretty fun wedding, quite honestly. But maybe the duplicate number tables can just have multiple table markers. And I will need to add Theo and Joel for sure. I was worried I was putting too much emphasis on recent players. I've already told my fiance we are naming our first son Theo. The wedding is Friday, October 5th. Carolina football doesn't play that weekend. If either of you would like to come on down, you can check out the Texas-Oklahoma Red River rivalry, and we'd be honored to have you. She's going to send us pictures afterwards. Nice. Best of luck.
I feel like if they can't remember the name, that's on them. I mean, that's not Kelly's problem. She's giving them a meal.
Yeah.
If you don't care enough
and
about
a fine afternoon.
Yeah. If you don't care enough about your meal to remember Hansbro, then maybe you should go to a different wedding.
We also received an email from Jeremy Wahlberg. Wahlberg.
Nailed it.
Who has he has the periodic table.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Of Carolina basketball. So he says, this is from Jeremy. He said, while I was raised in Pennsylvania, grew up a Carolina basketball fan. Eventually attended Keenan Flagler Business School. Live in Atlanta. Have made weekend trips to Chapel Hill. My 15-year-old daughter, Anna, came home from school last week with an assignment from her chemistry teacher. They are studying the periodic table and had to design their own table with something that interested them. First idea that popped into her head, Carolina basketball. His first reaction were, how are you going to do that? And your teacher will let you do that? Anna was determined and quickly got to researching players, jersey numbers, awards, positions, and years at UNC. Jeremy attached the photo of the final product, thought we might be interested and appreciative to see the results. I love it.
That was good work.
That is good work.
I'm always impressed by anything that happens in chemistry class, but this especially I thought was well done.
We received a couple of tweets here as of late that I wanted to throw out there. A couple more people talking about the Matt Doherty podcast, really enjoyed it. The one I wanted to bring up was Lee Brinson said, catching up on pods during Hurricane Florence, totally agree with you on the Amazon Prime X-ray feature, an unexpected treat. It was, Lee. I'm telling you, for our next Roadhouse Challenge, you got to watch it on with the Amazon X-ray.
I think we need a Roadhouse Challenge for the game at Miami, don't we?
Yes.
Are we doing a Twitter poll to decide what we're watching, or are we just going to take the hammer ourselves?
Let's do a Twitter poll.
Okay.
So by next show, we will have our choices, and we'll put it up on Twitter, and you can then vote for who we go with the Roadhouse Challenge next.
What movie does Jones uncomfortably have to watch while sitting next to Chad Scott on the plane? That's where Jones sits with the coaches.
Hey, guys, here's how about American Pie? That's totally fine. Adam, do you have a how can you justify that or a what up or anything else?
I have a how can you justify that and a what up.
Oh, baby.
I'm going to start with how can you justify that.
I do not have to justify.
How can you justify what you've done?
How can you justify sacrificing my love?
How can you possibly justify that?
You tweeted out something that could be a how can you justify that.
What?
But I'm going to let you take that. Well, not...
Not
about you.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Mine is going to be, do you remember, mine is me. Do you remember when I told you that at some point this season, I would refer to Nasir Little as Nasir White again in print? We know I've already done it one time.
Yes.
I've done it again.
Oh.
And we didn't even make it to October. We didn't even make it to the fast break breakfast, which is next week. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. I don't know how to correct this. In my mind, he's Nasir White. It's so in my mind that, believe it or not, I actually do read through things before I post them. I don't just, like, vomit them onto the page and, like, all right, let's go. It's so in there that when I look through it, I see Nasir White, and I think, yeah, that looks right.
This is going to be a problem.
I think I need to go to the board like Bart Simpson and write, like, Nasir Little, Nasir Little, Nasir Little, Nasir Little. Luckily, Ryan Sellers caught me moments after it had been posted, because evidently Ryan must read things right when they go up. And he had very good humor about it.
So I can't believe you did it again.
I did. I told you I was going to. There's no doubt in my mind. Like, even when I see him at the Smithsonian, I'm like, oh, there's Nasir White. Why do I do that?
I don't know.
And I know
it's going to be a problem.
I know it's Coby White.
Right. But you just think it's Coby White and Nasir White, no relation?
Yeah. They may be brothers. It's like the Wares. Man, the Tar Heels really got an impactful pair of twins. It's like Roderick and Lodrick Stewart. You remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So how can
you? The best part about Roderick and Lodrick Stewart is that Roderick was right-handed and Lodrick was left-handed. That was the best part.
Do you think their parents forced them to do that? All right, you're the R.
Yeah, probably.
You got to go righty.
I remember seeing them put on a dunk exhibition in the old Bob Gibbons Tournament of Champions like I'd never seen before.
Those 1999 rims took a beating.
Yeah, that's right.
So how can you justify that, Adam, not knowing the name of one of Carolina's very best players, likely to be an All-America candidate and very important to the Tar Heel season? By the time Carolina plays at Wofford, I want to know his name. That's my goal for this year.
Sometimes you want to go.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Nasir Little.
And they're always glad you came.
Nasir Little.
You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Nasir Little.
Little.
Yeah. That's what I said.
My, how can you justify that Adam was referencing, goes to Andy Katz, no longer of ESPN, although I still think of him ESPN.
Yeah.
He is writing, he works through the NCAA, right?
I don't fully understand that.
Yeah, let's just go with it. And so he put out a list of top 15 impact freshmen. It's early September,
right.
Where let's put out something.
Like uniforms.
Right.
Yeah, let's get the clicks.
On said list was one Tar Heel, a gentleman by the name of Nasir Little, Adam.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
There were also two Duke players, and right. Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett. But there was no Coby White on here, Adam. And I'm going to tell you something as I tweeted. Coby White is going to be an impact freshman this year. And Mr. Katz, how can you justify not placing him on this list?
The category of most impactful is what makes it so obvious Coby White should be on there.
Yeah.
He will be impactful. If it was best, you could argue that.
Right. But he's going to play a lot, and he's going to play an impactful position that Carolina is a position of need right now, and that's providing options, depth, and talent at the point guard spot, which, as we know, is an incredibly important position in the Tar Heel style of play. I even got some Duke people who somehow caught wind of this tweet that were like mad that Cam Reddish, their other really good freshman, wasn't on here. Two wasn't enough for them, Adam.
Jason Talon. My what up?
What up? What up? Take a look at there, what's up?
Goes to the women's soccer team.
Mm.
1-0 win at number 2 Florida State this weekend. Won it on Rachel Jones's first career goal. That's a good win because Florida State's really good. And the Tar Heels had kind of a tough road trip to California because basically, as best I can tell for their schedule, they wait until the preseason polls are released, and then they play road games at the top 10 teams who aren't ACC opponents.
Yeah.
And then they go play the other ACC opponents on the road. I think that's how it works.
The Tar Heels, now, not that this is breaking news, but they're really good this year, and they have lost. They lost to Stanford 1-0. They lose maybe Santa Clara 1-0 also. And there was controversy in one of, I think, the Santa Clara game where Carolina had tied it up, and it got the tying goal was waved off because after a referee consultation, they decided someone was offside. And so
always trouble with this onside, offside thing.
Yeah, so I understand all of those factors, but just from talking and hearing some folks who really know that sport and know the sport here, the Tar Heels are going to be a national. They are in the small group of teams that have a very, very good chance of winning the national championship.
What up, women's soccer? And former pod guest Anson Doris. Yeah. By the way, he was great.
He was great. Yeah, go back and listen if you haven't heard that. Can I give one more mini how can you justify that to say it has nothing to do with the Tar Heels?
Sure.
Or this guy for the Bills, Vontae Davis, did you see this?
Yeah.
Who just quit like retired at halftime?
At halftime. Just got dressed and left.
Yeah. So the Bills are one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst team in the NFL this year. They lost 47-3 in the first week, and they were trailing something like 27-6 at halftime of their second game. And Vontae Davis, been in the league for a long time, just decided he'd peace out at halftime, just quit right there. He was done with that.
And the coach said something to the effect of, like, well, he just decided he was done. Well, can you do that at halftime? You just put how does that even work? Like, while the other guys are having position meetings, like, all right, guys, we got to get in that B gap a little better. And there's Vontae Davis, like, putting on his tie.
Yeah, that's right. He's, like, looking in the mirror, like, making sure his knot looks good.
Yeah, guys, is this straight?
Vontae, where are you going? I'm out of here.
I think I'm done.
I'm done.
And then he had a statement on Instagram, like, an hour later. What are you doing, Vontae Davis? What are you doing? You're still in the NFL. It's not like adult flag league.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be difficult for Vontae Davis to get another job in the NFL. Of course, he's officially retired. Cora, how can you justify that? Brought to you by Circle K. Circle K prides itself on providing customers what they need when they need it. They take care of people's time. How can you justify not going to Circle K? What up? StubHub. Whether your favorite seat's right on the 50-yard line or comes with a bird's-eye view, head to StubHub, grab tickets. StubHub, the official fan-to-fan ticket marketplace of Carolina Athletics. StubHub, be there.
I recommend that, of course, you can get your tickets on StubHub, but that if you'd like tickets to the Carolina Pitt game on Saturday, you should keep an eye on Pod Twitter.
That's quite a tease,
that's
Adam.
What I would say.
Okay, so later this week, we are a couple things to look out for. One, Pod Twitter, potential tickets to the Pitt game. Breaking news just learned here on the pod. Two, we are going to send out a Twitter poll. You can help us pick what our next Roadhouse Challenge movie is going to be. Although, I got to tell you, we've just got so many good options, there's no way really to go wrong. Quite no way to go wrong. Also, we are working on getting a great guest. Going to hopefully have a great conversation coming up later this week as well. We are going to try to get back into our regular rotation of things, just like everybody else, and hopefully we're rocking and rolling later this week. Adam, do you have any suggestions on who could send us out here on the Carolina Insider? You know what? I think with the basketball schedule being released, and with the fast break against Cancer Breakfast, as we know, a scant 1 week away, what do you say we have Coach Williams send us out?
That'd be good.
I think Hall of Fame head coach Roy Williams will send us out, along with the RZA, of course, here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
Hi, I'm Roy Williams. We're signing off right here, and we want to say see you later. Big grits. Oh, my gosh, big grits. I can't wait to see you face to face.
When I was small, nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for
see you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.